And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and nerds of all ages, welcome to Voices from the Grid. I am joined today by the amazing, the incredible, our fabulously techno pink ranger, Brian Massey.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Followed very closely by the man who started this all, essentially, the Blue Ranger, Michael Lindenbaum.
Sup?
And last, but definitely the greatest, our amazing and incredible Snark Master, Ben Taylor, our Green Ranger.
It feels good to be back. For a small behind-the-scenes peek, as you would have heard before episode one, I have been very ill for most of this season. So we're recording a few of these out of order to actually have me in a couple.
And we're glad to have you back.
Yeah. Woke up this morning feeling great. Like, and then sat down and went, now I'm going to record this nonsense.
It'd be like that sometimes. And of course,
I very nearly said a bad word, which is how, you know, it's been a long time since I've done this.
And for those that don't remember, and for those that don't remember, I am Sasha Kaplan, the internal Red Ranger. And today we are discussing the passing of the torch, a two-part episode that transitioned cast members for the first time in mass since Trini, Zach, and Jason left the show. So this is the first time since that moment that we've had multiple characters leaving the show at the same time. So the first question, guys, right off the gate is, what is going on behind the scenes? Why is half the, like, 95% of the cast leaving? I know the answer to this, but our listeners, might not. So let's get into it.
Yeah. I know the answer to this because I've talked to two people directly involved with it.
Go on then.
Spill that tea.
So Wendy Lee, who is the voice of Scorpina, was also one of the executive producers who helped bring Power Rangers to America. And she was in the behind the scenes of the show at the time. And apparently, and this is where it's going to conflict, because the other person I talked to was Johnny Young Bosch. So for what Wendy said is that there were apparently contract negotiations. They failed, so they decided to then bring in a different new cast members. But according to Johnny, him and the others found out through a casting call, not for the sake of contract negotiations. So there's actually mixed messages. And of course, the thing with Wendy Lee is actually up on the X75 Productions YouTube page, because I interviewed her at DerpyCon of 2022, which is when I found out that information, or that side of the story on that.
So the part of this that I had heard was that Jason David Frank had been kind of done with Power Rangers at this point. He wanted to leave the show. And the story that
if
was
only he'd gone away
all by himself. I mean, he was, like, barely in this season anyway, so...
Right, but my point is, he said he wanted to, quote-unquote, leave the show, and then just didn't, kept coming back.
Well, he left for a pretty long time, considering after Turbo, we don't see him until Dino Thunder. So, you know, it's like...
Again, he should have just stayed gone.
Fair. So the story was that, I guess that, like, I think it was Linkara or someone else had circulated, was that JDF wanted to leave the show, and they were basically just like, screw it, let's bring in a new cast. But it sounds like the issue at the end of the day was contract negotiations, and they didn't even have the guts to tell the actors, like, hey, those, by the way, you're fired.
So those two things can be the same.
That's true, yeah.
It is very possible and probably likely that when JDF made up his mind to leave, rather than just tell the others that they wanted to move on, that certain company made contract negotiations untenable.
Yeah.
On purpose.
Yeah.
Seems like a lot of effort instead of just, like, firing people. But yeah, I guess, yeah, I wouldn't put it past corporate to do that.
Because if I remember right, I think it was a few weeks later at Twin Cities, which is when, because I think a fan in the audience asked Johnny about the whole Turbo thing. And that's when he said, we found out through casting. So it's like, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if JDF could have been a catalyst that started all of it. But, you know.
You know, it's actually interesting, because when you rewatch the two-parter, and we'll get into the nitty-gritty of like, is this a good two-parter? Is this a bad two-parter? All that jazz. But I remember, I think you and I had a conversation about Johnny at one point, and you told me the story, and it was somewhere in the back of my mind, because when I rewatched the whole power transfer, I look specifically at Adam's, at Adam, to see what he's doing. And I don't know if this was a choice that Johnny did, or if this is just you catch an actor for a moment or out of character, but you can tell he's not happy.
Yeah.
And like that work makes sense in character and outside of character, right? So if it was a purposeful acting decision by Johnny, like props, it added an extra layer that would have been good to like, if the episode was like a little bit longer to really, you know, delve into what those feelings were. But oh boy, yeah, that's... Brian, what about you? Anything to add before we kind of move on to the next bit here?
I mean, I was just going to say, like, everything I've heard has been, you know, it was the Tommy Show starring Tommy Oliver. And when JDF wanted to leave, you know, you hear about, like, all these practices that Chaim Saban had in place because it's a non-union show and there's all these different things. And that's the reason why the first Max Exodus happened in the first place. And so I remember when this happened, and I mean, we'll get into that later, where like this is kind of where I lost interest in the show for the first time. But like, I still think it's really weird that like JDF was like, hey, I want to go. And then everybody else had to leave with him. Mm-hmm. And I never got a straight story. And, you know, it seems like we still don't have all of the pieces yet. And it's kind of interesting to me. It's really interesting lore that's like not about, like, it's not in show lore. It's like about the show. And it's like, what really happened?
What would have been interesting is had JDF left by himself, you could have had a really interesting story where Adam takes over as the Red Ranger, mm-hmm. right? And then now you have a blue, or what was it? You have like a Green Ranger spot to fill, right? So then like, who would you bring in to kind of fill that? And we kind of got the impression, and we'll get to this episode in a second. There's an episode before, a few episodes before this that I think it was Mike and I that reviewed that introduced Carlos and Ashley. Yeah. So if that would have been the case, like, you could have had this debate of like, okay, I'm Adam, I'm the Red Ranger now. Would Carlos be a good fit to take over kind of the position of Green Ranger?
Especially with him being the fact that he's coaching him in soccer.
Yeah, and he did have this like teeny itty bitty moment of character, like what we call in Power Rangers character development. I don't know. I think there's a lot of possibilities here.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest problems that kind of came into play was the fact that, you know, as mentioned, Jason wanted to leave. So in the minds of the others, when it came to that contract negotiation with one person, they just let's clean slate outside of Blake Foster because he's already the new kid anyways.
So,
and I think that's kind of where things got messy.
There's an interesting thing here that sort of speaks to the larger issue with Turbo. And this is very much me putting on my adult taking a kid's show too seriously hat. The show needed a change. It absolutely needed a change. What they decided to do was to change the entire cast. But what they should have done is changed the cast they had by letting the characters grow up. They just graduated high school. There could have been this very interesting dichotomy about, do I go to college? Do I get a job? How do I balance being an adult and a Power Ranger? Like, they could have put much more emphasis on evolving the characters they had.
That's way too much effort for a kid show.
Exactly. Rather than flat out replacing the cast that they have with new characters.
And I completely agree with you, Ben. And I think that would have been a really interesting way to go. And it almost feels like when we get, the new blood in, it's like we're going back to like they're in high school again. And it feels like a step back rather than trying to evolve the characters and, like, yeah, put them in situations where they're trying to figure out adulthood, like you said. And that was one of the big things that kind of irked me, where it was like, I'm starting over again. It's like, so I don't know. I was not a fan of that.
It's, I think this is like Ben said, and I think you covered a lot of the issues with Turbo in your musings from the Grid write-up, which if you guys don't know about those, they are awesome. Go read them.
Thank you.
Was there's like th there were a few issues with the show becoming the Tommy show, as Brian had said earlier as well.
Well,
But the no, go ahead.
this season, not so much,
Yeah,
right? Because
exactly.
it didn't dawn on. Now, I'm going to be very honest with our listening audience. Having not been on most of the episodes, while I have in solidarity been watching Turbo with my companions, I may not have been watching it as closely as they were and just having it on in the background while I'm doing other things.
As long as you're prepared to go for the pizza episode, that's really all that matters.
Best episode ever.
We'll get there.
But the point being, I didn't realize how obvious it was when I first watched through Turbo, oh, those 3 and a bit years ago, how obvious it is that Jason David Frank is pretty much never around the other cast.
Yep.
And I didn't realize how obvious it was until I started this watch through. So it's still the Tommy show in the way that, like, we have an episode, an example later in this episode where four Power Rangers are fighting Piranatrons and can't win. And then Tommy shows up and shoots them with a gun, which all of the other Rangers actually have and just didn't use. But in Turbo, there is very much a noticeable lack of Tommy on screen as Jason David Frank. And I'm enjoying it.
Like, it's funny because, like, I don't miss him. Like, I notice he's gone, but I don't miss him. And one of the things that I think I pointed out with the episodes that I reviewed with Mike and Brian was that there are times where, like, Tommy just kind of shows up and saves them, like you said, where, like, he didn't need to. But there's also really good episodes where, like, it's obviously don't need him, and the show still functions well without him. But despite our feelings about Tommy as a character, he was very popular. So it's possible that his absence in the greater scheme of the show also helped kind of, turn people off. But I think now is a great segue to actually start talking about what happens in this episode. So, to kind of give a brief summary, we get this, we're introduced to two new characters we've never met before named TJ and Cassie. While also we have Tanya and Adam and Justin going camping or something, and Tommy and Kat are on their way to the power chamber. There's something going on that's like
They're all
they're,
going camping.
oh yeah, so they're going to join them at camping,
And
but
Tommy and Kat are getting there late because, for some reason, out of nowhere in this episode, they suddenly discover this thing where Tommy is always late. Even though he's been an absolute model student for 4 years and it has never been mentioned before.
No, there was an episode about Jason being late before, or Tommy being late before. It was like in Zio or something,
Whatever.
or yeah.
The point being, they make it sound like every single time they do anything, Tommy is always late. Like, they literally at one point, I think it's Tanya says Tommy was born late. And I'm like,
Sure, what? We'll go with that. It's fine. It's his last episode. It doesn't matter.
Where does this come from?
Doesn't matter.
So Tommy and Catherine are just late getting to the campsite, which is why they're driving alone.
So let me read the little synopsis here from Ranger Wiki so that we actually get the whole scheme. So visited by her mother, Mama D, Divatox is inspired to take down the Power Rangers by removing their leader. While heading to the outskirts of Angel Grove to go camping with Adam, Tanya, and Justin, Tommy and Kat are ambushed by an army of Piranatrons, with Tommy being captured to be dumped into the vortex of eternal doom and sorrow. While the others fight the Flamite at their campsite. Luckily, a pair of young teens in the midst of a moving to Angel Grove, even though Cassie's heading for Stone Canyon, but that doesn't matter, TJ and Cassie spot the disturbance and come to the Ranger's aid. As TJ and Cassie head off to rescue Tommy, Flamite plans to burn down Angel Grove. Carlos and Ashley help bring a group of children to the youth center, while the rest of the Rangers attempt to put out the giant fire. On top of all of this, time is running out, for reasons that are never explained, for the four eldest Rangers who must pass on their powers to worthy successors by the end of the day.
Reasons not explained. Your contracts are up.
Well, no, it's not even that.
It's a countdown to Zordon getting there, basically.
Right, but like, okay, I understand the Zordon cameo is important, but like, you could have done a cutesy little, like, I guess it's so the other Rangers know Zordon exists. Brian?
We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Okay, so I guess let me go back here to my question. Let's talk about Divatox.
Yes, please.
What are our thoughts on her plan, the way everything unfolds, her mom just like randomly being like, hey, you're like my most useless child, get on with this and kill the Red Ranger.
You would think Dimitra would be her most useless child.
Divatox is adopted, remember?
So, there's a line in this where Mama D, which...
What a name.
Don't think about it too hard.
Says that people no longer think of Divatox as a witch. They think of her as a wimp. And I was unaware she was supposed to be magical. Because everything she does is based around technology.
Yeah, everything that she's done.
Also not magical.
Yeah, everything that she's done so far has involved in some way, shape, or form, like a bomb or something with like a timer. How is that magical powers, you know, do my whim?
There were a couple of moments in this episode since we're talking about Divatox. And I'm sure I will talk about more about this when we wrap the season up. There were a couple of moments in this episode that just made me go, God, I'm glad the internet wasn't existing back then. Like, there's a moment like where she's like right at the end of the first episode where they've captured Tommy and she looks down at him and goes, he's at my feet where he belongs. And all I could see was the internet going, step on me, Mama Divatox! It was just,
I have nothing to say in response to that, so keep going.
I know I came to this as an adult, but like I could see Divatox being a formative experience for some young men and young ladies and other peoples.
For those that watched the show as it aired, let us know on Twitter if this is the case. At VFTG_PR.
Yeah, I love Divatox. I've gone on record saying she's my favorite villain maybe ever, but definitely of the Zordon era. I love that she's so over the top. I love that it's so hammy. Her plan, however, to remove the Red Ranger and having to be told that by her mother bothers me slightly, because that should have been the first thing anyone thought of. But then I realized that the line is remove the leader and the rest will fall, and all I could think was, JDF did a good job of that himself that season.
Oh. Damn. So there's a part, I think it's in the first part of the episode, I want to say, that I started laughing hysterically because it's so dumb. So Tommy's captured. Right, he's in this cave, and Diva Tox is gloating as she's smearing peanut butter on the rope. And I'm just like, just cut the rope.
Like, she's literally pulling a Dr. Evil where it's just like, no, I'm just gonna like go away and like let that happen and assume that it worked. And I'm like, why?
Right, but you could have said the same thing about like the green candle, right? Like, they just set it on fire, but I'm like, put it in the fucking microwave.
There's some microwaves on the moon, Ben.
There's plenty of microwaves on the moon. It's in space.
There's no microwave in Rita's castle. I'm sorry. but you know,
blowtorch at it.
This is coming from the space pirate that sets like a 2-hour timed countdown. So like, I shouldn't be surprised. But the sheer silliness of it definitely got me.
Also, can I just point out something too? Where Mama D says, "Why not use the vortex of an eternal doom
and damnation?"
Doom and sorrow. It's not in use right now. And my first question is, why is it not in use right now?
Is there a one person limit?
Like, if you have something that OP, why aren't you using that every fight? It's like,
well, it probably needs to reset.
Yeah,
like,
it's,
you
got,
like,
it's got a maintenance cycle.
Yeah, you can only put one person in there at a time. It's like,
didn't put enough cores in it to make it work or something.
Like, you know how Rachel, you know how Rachel Ghoul has that like resurrection, like
the Lazarus pit,
the Lazarus pit, right? Yeah. So, like, it's like the opposite of the Lazarus pit. You don't want too many things in there at once, that's gonna mess somebody up.
Or it's like the Sarlacc pit where you put something in and it's gonna actually digest it before the next thing can go in.
Tell that to Boba Fett.
Okay, so any other thoughts on Diva Tox in this episode or her mother?
I just have to say, there's a great moment in the beginning of the episode when Mama D pops up and, like, obviously Diva Tox is in bed and she has the eye thing on. But after her mom's done talking, she doesn't move up her eye, like, whatever it's called. I don't know what it is. But
an eye mask?
An eye mask. She doesn't move it up, but yet somehow you're able to see her eyes start moving.
It kind of had
so she's got an eye drawn on one side, and the other side is just like she opens it and it flicks up, and she starts looking around. It's quite fun.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how that played out.
It's kind of like the Spider-Man lenses from like the MCU, where like they just kind of flip open.
Yeah,
and I thought that was kind of cool.
But. Other than that, one
of the big parts of this story, of this two-parter, is this question of passing the torch, right? So Carlos and Ashley it's like a half-ass thought sprinkled in there as we focus on rescuing Tommy. But the point is, a good chunk of this episode is spent on establishing these two new characters, TJ and Cassie. So from the beginning episode, what are your first impressions of these two characters and their introduction? And do you think they should have been chosen as Rangers?
Cassie can't sing.
Yeah, right. That was my first note.
Yeah, literally my first note too. I think that's everybody's first note. It's like, I'm going to sing. It's like, girl, don't. No.
That's your first note. Not that two high school age teenagers are riding a Greyhound bus cross country with no family to places where they don't know where they're going, where they're going to stay, or otherwise be around.
Well, no.
Cassie was heading to her aunt's in Stone Canyon.
But there was no one on the bus with her.
I mean, they're like 16. It's fine. It's the 90s.
And not only that, but TJ's going to his father's baseball coach.
And I'm not talking about where they're going, but the fact that Cassie never actually makes it to Stone Canyon.
Mm.
Who does she live with while she's a Power Ranger?
Yeah.
Dimitri fixed it. It's fine.
I'm talking about on the bus with them.
So I can say that definitely at that age of where they're at, which is like 16, 17, and I know this because I've done this while flying, like as long as there's parental consent to allow them, as like they drop them off at the station or the airport or whatever, it is fine, you know, at that age, because, you know, it's just how it is. It's how it's kind of always in a way been here in the States. So not much thought is truly ever really looked into that.
But they can't be 17, 18, because there's a line when TJ says, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a Power Ranger, and the Power Rangers have only been around for 4 years. So the guy, to be a kid, you got to be looking at that guy being 15, 16 tops.
I guess 16, probably.
That would make him 12 when the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers showed up.
Yeah. Unless somehow, some way, like, I'm not even going to get into all that, but like, it, that line was so confusing too, because I was like, you are a grown ass man and you.
But he's not a grown ass man, because we see both him and Cassie attending Angel Grove High.
Yep. Yeah.
It's just, it's, I don't know. That line kind of threw me off. I was like, you were a kid?
And you, and that's what I'm saying. If we're going by the, and you guys always pull me up on this. If we're going by what's said in the show, TJ's at max 14, 15.
Yeah. I mean, good Lord. At max. What was it? Like, I started watching when I was 6, and like, that means at this point, like, I was 10, maybe 11. So the math is not mathing there.
Unless, like, okay, so I hate to kind of be a little bit more meta here, but like, I know Mighty Morphin's, like, when the show started, is technically the first team of Rangers, but there could have been Rangers before that, because we keep going into all of these, like, later in later seasons, we get to, like, historic Power Rangers and, like...
Right, or, like, but we know that that's not the case.
That's true.
At this point.
Yeah.
Because nobody had an idea who the Power Rangers were when the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers showed up. It's why they were such a sensation. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So... by that rationale, TJ and Cassie, because they're in the same year in school, coincidentally, are 13, 14.
I still think they're supposed to be like 16.
Well, then I don't think he would have said as a kid.
I mean, technically, look, 12 is a kid.
Yeah, like if you're 16 and you're thinking of like yourself when you're 12, you think like, wow, I was a kid. I didn't. I don't know. I think this might be a case where we're digging too deep into the semantics of the dialogue, because look, it's not like Power Rangers really understand its own continuity. So
literally what we're here to do.
Fair. My note here, it says, do we think Cassie could have made it to Stone Canyon and actually have a singing career? Yeah, nope. I didn't think so.
Nope.
I mean, she does get one episode where she has that hit song, but yeah.
Yeah, well, she needs some girl needs some voice lessons.
Also, TJ's going to Angel Grove to become a baseball player, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Did we ever see him play baseball?
Yes.
We do? Okay.
So both of these things that they bring up, we do see later on in the season.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's good.
Oh, one thing we forgot to mention about Divatox and her mother. There's apparently a pirate eye patch factory, and that is a very important thing for all of you to know about.
Okay.
Okay, so throughout this episode, we see TJ really taking on what we will come to know as this leadership role, right? He doesn't hesitate to essentially go into danger to help someone. And Cassie kind of goes back and forth because she's like, I'm just going to go get my suitcase and go now. Like, this is not safe.
There's a moment where right after she gets off the bus and she's supposed to be struggling across the street with this suitcase. She's got it like both hands and she's crooked. And she just yeeks it into a bush and you never see it again.
Well, she couldn't remember which bush it was. So let's talk about, we'll get to like Ashley and Carlos in a little bit as well, but Do you guys want to talk about Carlos and Asher, or you want to talk about pacing first?
Well, since we're introducing the new Rangers, let's do Carlos and Ashley, right?
Okay.
And then we'll talk about whether they should actually have been Rangers later.
The people that they were shipping right off the bat.
I will take ships that never became canon for 100.
Anya and Adam.
That's ships that never became canon for 200.
Yeah.
Trini and Billy.
Anyway, let's talk about Ashley and Carlos. Whereas, like, we see a little bit less of them in this episode compared to TJ and Cassie, but I think that's part of the course because Carlos and Ashley were introduced, I think, like an episode or two beforehand, in an episode about, I guess, Carlos and the value of teamwork. So I guess Ben already technically asked the question. Collectively, what do you think about these two other characters? And are these guys, like, we've never really had them poach for Rangers before. So what do you guys think of these newcomers so far? Ignoring what we see from them later in the season, of course, just like purely off these three episodes, essentially.
Yeah.
I don't see a Ranger in Ashley at all, but she, in a way, and I could see why they're trying in the beginning to ship her with Carlos, because in a way, in that episode where Carlos needed to learn about teamwork, she kind of acted as the moral compass for him.
Yeah.
So, like, I could see that's being a key reason why she's one of the people that they focused on bringing in as one of the next Rangers, because she could play that moral compass for the team and stuff like that. Whereas Carlos is the guy who can be a little bit more, you know, brash in a way, because you always have at least one in the team that needs to learn the value of teamwork and becomes over time a better team player and stuff like that. So it's like, so I could see it from that, those dynamics.
I hear you. But let me ask you a question. How does Tanya know any of this?
See, I'm going to get to that. I'm 100% going to get to that.
All right, go for it, Ben.
Everything, and pardon me skipping to a conclusion for a moment, but a lot of the issues with this is they're trying to do it in such a short time frame, right?
Yes.
For example, referencing what Sasha just said, before Tanya hands the Yellow Ranger powers over to Ashley, they'd never met before this episode. And they exchange maybe one line of dialogue. And yet, according to Tanya, quote, "You showed compassion and integrity, Ashley. I choose you with pride to be the new Yellow Ranger."
I noticed because I watched you from the window.
Yes. I'm watching you, Ashley. Hello.
Love how this is, went totally Silence of the Lambs right there.
Hello, Clarice.
I learned this from watching Rita.
I'm going to enter your Megazord. I'm just kidding.
Oh my god.
But yeah, one of the things Power Rangers had done fairly well up to this point was write characters out, with the exception of Aisha, maybe. Right? Even though they did give her a bit of an arc, it just felt a bit out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
But if you look at, like, the two or three episodes they spent recruiting Rocky, Adam, and Aisha, if you look at the extended arc we got to hand over from Kimberly to Catherine, they may not have been done under the most ideal of circumstances, especially in the three-parter with Rocky, Adam, and Aisha, with the fact that the original Rangers weren't even on set, right? They'd at least done a fairly good job. Rocky, he at least it happened in a movie. But I don't think this was, I don't know, the only one of these people that spoke to me as a Ranger was TJ. Because he's the only one that's just doing it. Like, I don't know.
TJ just, like, doesn't hesitate. I think that's really...
He's, like, just both feet.
I think he also just has that understanding of that being a good person means you just you have to step up and you have to to get in there and get your hands dirty. And I think that's why he speaks the most as a Ranger.
Yeah.
He also, like, gets to do the most heroic things. And, you like know, teaches...
Like get cooked into a pizza?
We're not there yet. Hush.
Best episode.
We're really hyping this pizza episode for people.
I cannot wait for that pizza party.
It's literally the next episode we record.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, the point being that, like, we see why not only is TJ the Red Ranger, but why he's ultimately the one to lead them in the next series of episodes. Because he's, and we'll learn throughout the course of the rest of the season that he's a very compassionate, very, like, genuine person who likes helping others and all this other stuff. But this episode really does a great job of establishing not just him as a character, but what he would be like as a Ranger. Whereas with, like, Cassie and Carlos and Ashley, we might not inherently, other than the fact that they're, like, you know, decent human beings, as all Rangers are, we don't really know what they're going to be like as capable fighters and Rangers. Although we know Cassie's capable of, but at least attempting to fight. Like, you know, considering she's fighting, you know, these, like, monsters and, like, armor aesthetically, like, she did a decent job.
If I can make an argument, because one of the things that we lament an awful lot on this show is this show didn't need to be a three-parter. This didn't need to be a two-parter. Oh, my God, why are there so many episodes in this story arc where it's obviously filler? I would make an argument just in terms of trying to build up these characters more and show the audience that these people are worthy of being Rangers, that we could have at least dedicated another episode, possibly, if not, maybe tightened up some of the writing or something. Because, like, for instance, TJ goes off to that cliff because he sees that, you know, green slime leading up to the cave, and Cassie's just like, all right, peace, and then, like, somehow... gets in front of him, and I'm like, that makes no sense. And she's like, well, I can't abandon you. And I'm like, what? Okay. And, like, that just...
I don't think this episode, this needed to be any more than two parts. But what I think they should have done is put more time into the transition.
Yes.
So we should have had, like, a couple of episodes to get to know TJ. Should have had a couple of episodes to get to know Cassie. We should have had more than one episode to get to know Carlos. It would have been awesome to have had that one episode with Carlos where he's having the teamwork issues, and then to have a second episode where you start seeing those teamwork issues being resolved, right? It would have been nice to have been to know anything about Ashley. Literally anything.
Besides that she's a cheerleader.
So, interestingly enough, it does bring up the question of when the, like, contract negotiations broke down and when the ultimate decision was, like, screw it, we're going to recast happened. Because if this was something, it kind of seems like it maybe happened, like, after a few, like Tommy leaving was probably something that was discussed before they started shooting Turbo, or at least the show. So that means they were either scrambling to figure out what to do, because the first few episodes I thought of the season did a great job of showing, like, the characters by themselves and their jobs and, you know, what they're doing post high school, sort of. But then there's this pivot, I guess. So I don't know. Maybe they wanted to test out a few episodes without Tommy first and see how it worked. And then, I don't know. It does kind of beg the question of, like, when did they start even thinking about recasting, and when did they ultimately cast these new guys? Because it seems like it was all done with some haste. Because if this had been planned, if they had time to plan it, right? Let's say at the end of Zio or during the filming of the Turbo movie that no one asked for, you know, JDF's like, hey, just a heads up. I think it's time for me to go. Like, I don't think they had a lot of time to cast and establish, because then what would have been interesting is kind of what they did with Adam and Rocky and Aisha, was introduce kind of either introduce them all together or one at a time. I think one at a time would have been better.
Yeah.
Give them like one or two episodes where like it's either a little bit focused more on them, or it's a matter of them working with one of the other Ranger cast members, or, you know, kind of build them up a little bit so that by the time they're chosen, it's like the Zio 6 Ranger arc that didn't go anywhere, right? There are all of those like red herrings. Like this would have been like, oh, because there's room in some of the episodes. Like there's that one where Justin is dealing with bullies or something. And a bunch of other things that are happening where like you could have established other actors as like red herrings to then ultimately when it's revealed like, hey, these are the four, your new four Rangers. You're like, oh, this makes sense. We like these guys.
When Tommy became the White Ranger, there is like at least 3 to 4 different red herrings on that one.
Yeah,
exactly.
I've got an idea for how to introduce them and make it seem a little more organic. And I want your opinion on this, because we start off this season with everybody graduating.
Yep.
What if instead you have it where it's a parallel where like them leaving and also choosing new Rangers is they're graduating from high school and also graduating from being Power Rangers. And at the beginning of the show or the season, they're obviously the seniors. And then, you've got Justin kind of getting accustomed to high school life, but then you also introduce these new four as the freshmen, you know, and they're just starting high school.
They would have been too young.
Yeah. I think like, I like the idea of like, oh, I think what they should have done, taking Brian's idea, but kind of changing it a different way. You go, okay, you guys have graduated high school. Your time of Power Rangers are coming to an end, and you spend that first half of that season looking for the replacements while also having to fend off Diva Tox at the same time. And that's where you can throw in some red herrings and the actual ones that you could potentially do. That way it cleans it up a little bit, but, and it doesn't feel like it's as hastily done too. Cause I honestly don't know if the contract negotiations were before they even started filming or if it happened during filming that led to how they got to the point that they are now and how soon they might have gotten the actors that eventually became Rangers. So there, that could have been the thing. There could have been no foresight at all, which is why we got it the way we did.
One of my most fundamental issues with this episode is we previously reviewed an episode in which Zordon went to the Power Rangers and went, hey, you're growing up. I don't want to dominate your life into being a Power Ranger. Here is your choice. You may leave or you may not. And they all chose to stay. I hate the idea that Power Rangers have to be in high school, because believe it or not, 90% of Power Rangers at seasons, they're not in high school. There's only like 4 high schools in the history of Power Rangers, if I'm remembering rightly. And there's been 30 odd seasons. I think the idea of like, you're graduating high school, you can't be Power Rangers anymore, is not only not bad, but slightly problematic. Feels like Zordon's grooming children.
I mean, he technically kidnapped him in the first episode.
But the point being, I don't think that is the way to have done it. I think the way to have done it would have been, if you wanted to introduce high schoolers as the new Power Rangers, use Justin as your lens. He's just joined Angel Grove High. They've graduated, so they wouldn't know the new classmen. So it would have just been Justin meeting people and making friends, right? So that way, you know they're good people because they're friends with Justin. And we know that would qualify because Justin's already a Power Ranger, right? Yes, you could have done the whole thing with, like, TJ helps him against the bullies, or Cassie transfers in and they hit it off on day one, and she gets in problems with Piranatrons, does a good job defending herself, but is ultimately saved by Power Rangers.
It also would have been interesting kind of going off Justin's lens of, like, having these new friends while also having these Power Ranger responsibilities, yep. And feeling like he's lying to his new friends. And, you know, essentially having these, like, two friend groups that he's constantly floating between and being like, I don't know what, like, so, yeah, I think that would have been really fun.
You could have Adam introduce him to Carlos if, like, Justin wanted to learn soccer.
Well, yeah. I was just about to say, the only thing I wouldn't change out of all that would be the Adam-Carlos connection because of the fact that...
Because of what happens in his space.
Yeah, well, not just that, but because the way we're introduced to Carlos is Adam is his coach.
Yes, exactly.
So, and that's why I wouldn't change that dynamic.
And then you could have had Ashley be, like, needing help. What would have been great is Ashley needing help and offering to tutor her.
You know what actually would have been interesting a little bit was to kind of, so, like, we don't necessarily know which colors they would be. Like, if Cassie's so interested in being a singer, she could have been like, that's how Justin could have introduced her to Tanya, being like, hey, here's Cassie. She's doing some voice lessons, hopefully. We love you, Cassie. We do. You know, she's interested in doing some music. Like, Tanya, you have some, like, you have this and this experience, maybe, like, you would be a good connection. And so you start building that, like, you know, connection with a different color, a ranger of a different, you know, suit color to kind of help. So, like, you don't know, like, oh, okay, they're just friends. And you're like, oh, Cassie's going to be the yellow ranger now. And it's not, like, would have been fun. But, okay. I think we talked quite a bit about our cast, and I'll leave it up to anything else that anybody wants to discuss in a bit. But I have one other question for you. Because there's something really interesting that was introduced in this episode. Angel Grove does, in fact, have a military and a fire department, guys. Why now? And did they do anything to help?
I think this might have been the episode that made me want Lightspeed Rescue.
Valid.
Like seriously.
I believe it.
Because I hadn't thought about it before. Where it's like, what if, like, firemen or rescue people were harassed by putties or planks or whatever, right? But... you very clearly see in this season, in this episode, that, like, everyday fireman is not going to hang around and fight a Piranatron, right? This is nice to acknowledge that they're there, especially since the Power Rangers are going to be leaving at the end of the season. They need someone to defend Angel Grove.
I guess my question is like, compared to the average, like, we've had far worse attacks by Rita, by Lord Zedd, you know, even the Machine Empire. It's so funny to me that, like, this is the episode where we kind of have military personnel and firefighters, but it makes me think, and maybe this is a big stretch, that this is maybe hinting at kind of the more involvement of government things happening later with the whole NASADA thing. But I don't know. At this point, I'm just, like, throwing random thoughts into the air.
I mean, I feel like they were. I honestly don't know. I think if they had been there the whole time, it's like, where were you?
Well, we knew that they were there because we know they have a police force, at least.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Even if it is just a junior one and one of them goes on to own a goddamn juice bar.
Well, no,
look, not everybody can be a cop forever.
Well, no,
Bulkin School.
But no, we actually saw the actual police station when the Rangers were turned into kids. So we do know that there's an actual legit police station. We just don't see it ever again.
So we know that these people have been present, but I don't think we've ever done. But yes, we haven't seen them in episodes and things, but I don't know.
To see them in action is kind of a new thing, at least like the fire department and the military like that.
Well,
yeah.
It does like end up, I think, accidentally foreshadowing a couple things later. But either way, it's a nice nod to know that they exist. So at this point, if anyone, I'm gonna open the floor. Those are the biggest questions that I had. So what are any other thoughts that you guys have about this two-parter that we haven't covered yet? Oh god, Mike has something.
I love the moment you said I'm going to open the floor and Ben just goes like finger cracks like he's ready to say something.
Rolling up the sleeves.
He's like rolling up the sleeves, finger crack, you know.
Before we get into anything else, I do want to share at least two of the notes that I wrote, which were, oh yeah, right, Street Alpha.
And yo, yo.
And then, oh, yeah, right. Lieutenant Stone owns the juice bar now.
Yeah.
The funny thing about the first note, there was an episode that Sasha and I were doing. And, like, of the three episodes, I think, like, the first episode of the three, Alpha wasn't in it and didn't say a word. And then the second one, Alpha spoke. And literally my note was, oh, crap, Alpha spoke.
Yeah.
I think there's another thing. I want to talk about the story that isn't the passing of the torch, which is the fighting with the Flamite monster. Where I'm fairly sure at some point every Ranger drops their turbo key.
Yeah.
At which point I'm just like, and I've said this before on this show, why would you design something that's that important that can be dropped?
Well, that's why they move on to, they go back to the wrist morphers literally right after this.
Yeah. It's, and then there's this whole fight where this Flamite monster is in a forest fighting Adam, Tanya, and Justin, breathing fire everywhere and not setting fire to things.
Because Smokey the Bear has some magical powers, man.
There's a kaiju fight I'd pay to see. Forget Godzilla.
And there's a moment where, like, there are three different moments in that Flamite fight where Justin is just dead. Like, the first time that the Flamite shows up, he runs right up behind Justin, doesn't say anything. Instead of just stabbing him in the back, jumps over him. There's another moment where he's got Justin pinned to a tree for 3 full minutes. Like, also, how does a car explosion knock Tommy down for so long? That man's fallen from Megazords.
By the power of and,
like,
there's a very simple explanation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
just as an aside.
This
moment before the car blows up, where Tommy's driving away from the Piranatrons on bikes. And right before he pushes Catherine out of the truck and then doesn't jump himself for some reason, just wants to throw a woman out of a moving vehicle for no apparent reason.
I'm done with you. Don't come back until after Dino Thunder.
I can't do this.
Don't come back until I'm flirting with the hot teacher.
I can't do this in race car driving. Push.
I'm sorry. It's not me. It's you.
But he's not. He's like, this is what it feels like to get a Dear John letter.
I really wanted her to just be like Tommy come up to her, hey, are you okay? And she's just like, you threw me out of a moving car, you dick.
It's fine. You have superpowers.
That are soluble, as we found out in the movie. But there's this moment where he's driving and he's doing this thing where he's got to wiggle the car. He's wiggling the steering wheel backwards and forwards really quickly. And it's meant to look like he's swerving around things. But if you've ever done that in a car, it just makes you drive straight.
Yeah. Because
He's not doing like move. He's going, move. And you just like go straight.
Yep.
Like,
it's literally every bad driving scene ever in Hollywood, where it's just like, it's like, no, that's not how that works.
I do have a random note here, and I have a question about it, because I don't remember if it was said in a previous episode or not, but there's this moment where Adam and Tanya are interacting as Rangers with Ashley and Carlos.
Yep.
And Ashley and Tanya basically just says something to Ashley, and Ashley's like, yeah, I got this, and continues crawling the kids. Adam goes the extra mile and says Carlos's name, and Carlos doesn't blink. It's like, oh, like my reaction is like, oh, a ranger knows my name? What? That's so weird. Nope. Just keeps going.
Yeah. Well, we talk about this quite a lot, right? Where the rangers interact with people who they know they are, but don't recognize their voices.
Well, I'm not even saying he needed to recognize him. Just the
fact I'm saying is like, it's a somewhat given thing at this point that like the Rangers are somewhat omnipotent when it comes to knowledge.
It's also really weird because in previous episodes, there were these moments where I think I reviewed those episodes with Brian where I'm like, they just said, let's morph, or we need to get to the command center when there's people within earshot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, to zap forward a little, Dino Fury, right? I know it's the most recent season, but it is an entire season where everything other than the Ranger stuff is about how the world is always online and filming everything with their phones. And at the beginning, they're told, don't let anyone know you're a Ranger. And then they just walk in the middle of the street.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like...
Call the Ranger hotline. It's like, oh, wait, why are my pants ringing? It's like, dude, we know it's you. We saw you morph. Anyways.
There is another note I have here. And this is coming from the cynical part of me. The very cynical part of me. Which was, I remember thinking the first time I watched this when I was on Dubbo, I expected there to be a Cassie and TJ romance. Because of the way they hit it off so quickly, but B, because I couldn't help but know that TJ and Cassie are very similar to Tommy and Catherine, and I just expected the writers to use the copy and paste function on their names.
It's funny because I actually have a note about that in a later episode that Mike and Brian and I have already recorded, so I do actually make a note of that. I think it's during spoilers, guys. For the show, it's during the whole what's his name, Phantom Ranger saga, I think.
Yeah.
Where there's like, I think right before or right after, I make a comment of like, you know, TJ and Cassie actually have some chemistry. Like, can we get that going? Like, no, Phantom Ranger randomness. Okay.
Yeah.
It should be pointed out, two very notable people are missing the entire two parter.
Yeah, Bulk and Skull. Yeah.
And that is the legendary Bulk and Skull.
I was going to bring that up as well.
Yeah.
I did have a note about that, but I forgot to mention it. Good call.
Pour one out for the homies on that one, you know? Yeah.
So again, with me having not really paid a whole lot of attention to Turbo, what is Bulk and Skull status at this point? Are they still chimpanzees or are they invisible yet?
I think they're invisible because literally the episode right after this, they're invisible and become visible by the end of the episode.
So what you're saying is they could have been in the episode, just not without any lines.
No. They could be in the episode, but with lines.
They were just in the juice bar, like yeah, not sure what was going on.
Either of those two random drinks.
I also have a couple of just random notes too about this episode. First and foremost, I think it's hilarious that the Rangers finally morph episode two. We don't see any kind of morphing happening until episode two, and they're trying to fight Flamite, and they use their power weapons, and it doesn't work because fire doesn't work against fire. So Adam just is like, wait a minute, I got an idea, and it just zooms in on the water bucket. And like, I immediately thought of Team Fortress 2. It's like, this is a bucket. Dear God, you know? And, I thought that that was hilarious, that that was like, yeah, obviously, pour some water on him, I guess. But I don't know.
It's like Pokemon. You want to have the Squirtle go up against the Charmander.
Yeah.
So like, there's a couple of other things. There's a fight. I think it's sort of midpoint through the second episode, where TJ and Cassie roll up on Catherine getting beat up by a bunch of Piranatrons. And TJ and Cassie run up, start handling business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Catherine just leaves. Pink Power Ranger just leaves a pair of civilians to fight Piranatrons. And I'm like,
it's Tommy.
It's not how a Ranger would act.
It's a test.
No! It's not, because she doesn't know.
I know.
I just looked at it and I was like, go around, really? Just
I really hate how right I was about that whole like the Poochie thing, because it literally like the whole episode. Where's Tommy? If Tommy's not on screen, everybody should be asking, where is he? I'm like,
Tommy who?
Yeah. It's literally happening the entire time, which sure, he's kidnapped, but at the same time, it's like, good Lord, like, can we
But
do
they don't
something?
Really like go to look for him either.
No.
Like no. The only
Well, they're not really given an opportunity, right?
That's true.
Because Carlos and Ashley are helping the kids. And then Adam, Tanya, and Justin are fighting Flamite. And Cassie, TJ, and Catherine are fighting the Piranatrons. And then once Catherine's rescued, she goes off to help the other Rangers. So there literally is only like Cassie and TJ to look for Tommy, even though they don't really know that they are. There's a really nice, and I know we talked about how like indecisive Cassie was, where she's like, I should leave and then fight, and then I should leave and then fight. It does lead to what might be my favorite line in the whole two-parter, where after one of the Piranatron fights, I think it's after the first Piranatron fight, TJ turns to her and goes, I should have listened to you. And Cassie goes, I should have listened to me. Really nice little bit of writing.
I do think ultimately, like, although these characters aren't the most well established, we can see at the very least why Cassie and TJ are chosen to be Rangers, yes. Right? Despite the fear, despite wanting to leave and being very indecisive about it, Cassie does come back twice.
I agree. I just don't think that the reasons that Catherine gives in the ceremony are right.
Oh no, yeah, that's 100%.
Because like Catherine turns around and is like, what is it she says? Cassie, you came to my defense. I know you to be loyal and trustworthy. You will bring honor as the new Pink Ranger. No, you don't. You just know she does fight good.
And is willing to help lend a helping hand, though reluctantly and fearfully. Like, I think if we, like, going off of our perspective on the show, I would say that Cassie was brave and that she proved to, like you said, she's a good fighter. Yeah. And
from
she,
the audience's point of view, right. that's a great thing. But from specifically, like, what Catherine knows about Cassie, right? The line that she gives is absolute hogwash. And she just said, You saved a stranger that didn't need to help. You were brave and you fought well, right? Not you came to my face. I know you to be loyal and trustworthy. How do you know her to be trustworthy? You interacted for literally 30 seconds. So from the audience's point of view, we understand why Cassie is picked as a ranger. Right, but we don't know. Like, Catherine doesn't know any of the things that she says, and that's a problem with all of the handover lines. Right, I wouldn't be standing if it wasn't here for you. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you, TJ. If it weren't for your courage and strength, okay, fair enough. That one makes sense because he saw TJ whoop some ass in the cave. Right, You'll be the new Green Ranger, Carlos. You've proven yourself to be decisive, intelligent. When? Shown you to be a selfish, self-centered jock that wants to be the MVP of the soccer team. I've never seen any of the other stuff.
Maybe be, like, you could argue selfless and willing to grow and work, you know, and commit to teamwork, because he does ultimately do at the end of the episode. Fun fact, maybe Mike and Brian can correct me here, because I don't know if this is true, but is this the first episode where Demetria doesn't speak in questions? Because I thought that happened a little bit earlier.
I saw on the Ranger Wiki where it said that this is the first episode, but it feels like she's been doing that, like, way before that.
I think it must have happened, like, unless it's something...
I think it's more of it. As of this episode, meaning part two, she no longer speaks in questions, which means she speaks in questions in this one, and then moving further, she doesn't.
Yeah. It says, as of this episode, Demetria no longer speaks in questions.
Yeah.
Which actually makes sense, because, like, the whole thing was getting very annoying and grating in the first place, number one. And number two, this is a new pair of Rangers. Her question, figure it out yourself nonsense isn't going to work with a brand new team of Green Rangers.
I bet you that's why Zordon really returned, because he heard the complaints from the HR team for the Power Rangers, and Zordon's like, Demetria, cut the questioning crap. Just help them.
Now, we've had some complaints here in the HR department. Also, not that it really matters, but, like, there's, like, zero to none Sentai footage in here, whoop-de-doo, just in case anybody's wondering. So I don't have anything to comment on about that. I'm so happy that Demetria is just, like, not even, like, she's not even bothering with it now, because that got so old so fast.
Now if they could just replace Alpha 6's voice.
You gotta wait till the beginning of next season for that, bud. I'm sorry.
We'll get there.
We're pretty good in terms of how close we are to that, but we are not there yet.
Yo, please put me out of my misery.
I'd like to put myself out of my misery right now. Stop it. Okay, final notes before we pack it in and say goodbye and move on to the greatest episode in Power Ranger history, apparently.
in listening order, at least in recording order.
Adam, we shall miss you, our sweet, gentle knight.
Sweet summer child.
Our knight in shining armor of Power Rangers, our sweet Adam.
I didn't enough.
We see him literally for an episode of the next season.
Yeah, again, not soon enough.
He should be back in the next episode, because they never should have made him leave.
This is true, but 'tis too late.
I think this might be the first time in Voices from the Grid history that we have petitioned for an arc to be longer.
Which is it really?
Yeah, because all the others like, this does need to be a two-parter. This doesn't need to be a three-parter. This shouldn't have been a two-parter. This could have been a one-part episode. And like, this is the first time I think we've ever like been like, we wanted this to be longer. Script better.
Yes.
Not the first time we've been script better, but
because it needed it. This needed more time for these characters to cook and us to get used to them.
It's fine doing the power transfer in like a two episode arc, but like getting to know the characters needed way more time. And I think that is the ultimate takeaway from these two episodes. Yeah. Is that it's just
I definitely think especially like on to piggyback off that, like the only other one in case in point would be Nakia Burse's coming onto the show as Tanya, because she's a kid, you know nothing about her, and next thing you know, she's literally like playing baseball, she's a computer whiz, she's all this other stuff. You don't actually learn who the character really is and anything like that when she came in at the beginning of Zio.
There's also a point. We talk about getting to know the characters, but there's also a non-zero amount of just transference, right? We have a character that likes to sing. We have a character that likes to play baseball. Those are both traits from an existing ranger. We have a character that likes to dress up nice and do sports. Those are both characters. Traits from an existing ranger. Like, I don't know. I would like to have seen them like actually make new characters and not just transpose traits from the current rangers onto other people.
Look, they only have a set list of tropes that they know.
Yeah.
So they can't really deviate from that. Because
damn you, Saban.
Yeah, because you gotta have like the sporty one, the girly girl, the slightly less of a girly girl that wears more pants than the other one, like things like that.
Yeah.
So
it's a shame though.
True. So I think on that note, Brian, I think we should start with you. Where can the people find you on that thing, social media?
You can find me on Twitter at One Drunk Geek. You can also find me on TikTok under Blue Ranger B-Rye, where I constantly upload videos and talk about Power Rangers and Tokusatsu in general. You can also find me on Instagram at Draken22. And yeah, you can find me pretty much all over the place. I bet you might.
All right, Ben, what about you? Where are you on that social media?
I'm having a mouthful of coffee.
Sounds like a you problem.
You can find me on Twitter at
Bob T. Goldfish.
And you can find me doing the video game thing with my good friend George Johnson over at
twitch.tv/321_TV.
Want to give a shout out to Jordan because you won't be hearing him this season. He's the guy that does the like the narrator voices for all our scripted intros. Since we're not having any this season, shout out to Jordan. Yeah, that's me. I don't have a whole lot of places you can find me really because I don't like interacting with people. Leave me alone. That's not true. I love it.
You can find me over on Twitter at Geeky Kaplan with a K, and over on Threads at The Comics.
Oh my God, she didn't do the Billy Kaplan bit.
Shush. Fine, you know what? Just for that, we're going to start this again. Okay, you can find me over on Twitter at Geeky Kaplan. That is Kaplan with a K after the greatest superhero in the Marvel Universe, Billy Kaplan. Shut up, Ben. Shut up, Mike.
Word for word.
And you can find me on Threads at The Comic Historian. Michael, what about you and the show? Where does that exist in the ether that is the toxicity that is social media?
Well, for the show itself, you can find Voices from the Grid on Twitter at @VFTG_PR and click the Linktree link to find everywhere you can listen to the show. And then, of course, for me, you can find me on Twitter at @TheLindenbaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/X75Productions. And, of course, everything's up on the website at txhthockey.com. For everything else there. I would do Twitch, but I haven't been on lately, so I'm not going to promote.
All right. So with that, thank you for joining us as we welcome back Ben into the fold. Mm. And as we move on to the rest of the season, and hopefully you'll check us out on all of our wonderful social medias and go back through and listen to the podcast and check out Ben's musings from The Grid Reviews. For the Zordon era, they are awesome.
My journey, I believe they're called.
Yeah, it's called Ben's Journey for Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Thank you for
that. I got up to like Ninja Storm.
I was gonna say you didn't make it to Ninja Steel. You're still stuck on Mega Force from like watching it.
No. Like writing, I started the Dino Thunder review. Had lots to say about Tommy Oliver and just short-circuited and stopped writing.
And Musings from the Grid is our supplemental podcast that we do.
Yeah.
All right, there we go. Questions answered. Thank you for joining us. Michael, take us out.
Ben, take us out.
I thought we were going to pause and talk about the exit.
Go.
So, it has been good to get back into the recording of the Voices from the Grid, back into the fold. Just wish it had been with a little bit better of an episode. That being said, we will leave you, as we always do in these group episodes, or whenever I'm on, the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. Guys, gals, non-binary pals, and all those beyond that spectrum, peace. Be excellent to each other. Party on, my friends.
Right. And until our next Morph Novel episode, be sure to grab your turbo morphers and shift into turbo.
And may the power protect you.
Bulk and Skull were totally there at the juice bar.